Hi everyone, and welcome back to True Time. When a college student was mysteriously found dead outside, the police soon discovered that this investigation was going to be full of sex, lies, betrayal, corruption, and a cover-up that rocked a college town. This is the case of Jesse Valencia. Hello, True Time listeners.
Hello, everyone.
My name is Avery.
And my name is Dylan.
And we are so excited to have you here with us today.
We are.
We hope you're ready for a brand new case.
Yep.
So, we've had some life updates, some life changes lately.
Yes, we have.
Which one should we get into first?
Well, first, I think we can start with just saying next week. We'll have a big one.
Yes.
An exciting one.
Big, big news.
But you can wait till then.
Yeah, we have a... I don't know how much I can give away because I want it to be more exciting for next
week.
Yeah,
I'm good with stopping there.
Okay. But it involves fun. Yeah. And relaxation. That's all you get.
That's too much.
No.
Yeah. Next week will be a big one, but this week, what do you have?
So, I officially quit my job as a substitute teacher.
Ooh. There we go.
Yeah, some people might laugh at me. I don't know. I described it as bittersweet. I was a full-time substitute teacher at a high school here, and I learned a lot from that job. Dylan with the sound effects.
Yeah, thank not really you. Learned a lot, except for that you don't like it.
Well, I wouldn't say that I didn't like it. That's mean.
Yeah,
I really did learn a lot, and I enjoyed the really good times, but I mean, it did show me. I originally started that job thinking I was going to go into education.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed me that just wasn't the path for me. But
yeah.
The whole time I was working, I was doing True Time on the side. But that's kind of what True Time was more of just a side thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say in the past year, I've had a lot of realizations. And I've come to the conclusion that I want to make True Time and podcasting my full-time job.
Gosh, you I'm are so doing bad all the wrong. I really need to label these things.
Yeah, please. All next right. time, guys, we're going to be better. We swear. Oh, my gosh. Quit laughing at me. Take me seriously, please.
Sorry.
Anyway, we have some big life changes. You know, we have our move coming up, and part of the reason I had to quit early was part of our big announcement next week, so I can't say too much, but just a lot going on. So there were a couple other factors, but ultimately, I really want to make this my full-time job, so I'm going to be putting all my time and effort and energy into True Time and hopefully build it into even more than what it already is.
Yeah. And again, because of our big announcement next week, she won't be able to fully devote, you know, yet.
Yeah, it's going to take up about a month of time.
But once that's done, you know, she's fully dedicated to, you know, growing the pod.
Yeah. You can expect to see a lot more. You know, I want to do more on social media, just more platforms to be on. I don't know. I have a lot of ideas and a couple other things in the works. So you'll just have to keep an eye out. But
yeah,
hopefully we'll get this going. And if you guys continue to share and support us, it'll make this even better.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my big life update.
Nice.
Dylan, you want to share your life update?
So for me, I finished junior year? That'd be my junior year.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So now I just have a year left of school. So just finished my semester. I just have 1 year left.
Mm-hmm.
Then I graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait.
Yeah, Dylan's really excited. He's been doing a lot of research into jobs and where we could go and all the possibilities. So he's very excited.
Yeah, I'm definitely ready.
Yeah, so congratulations, Dylan. One step closer to getting that degree. But yeah, so we've been pretty busy over here. A lot going on at the moment.
Yeah, lots of changes. Mm-hmm. Moving forward every day.
Yeah, but I think that's about it for this week.
That is. You ready to go into the case?
Let's do it. I just wanted to make a quick disclaimer that this case does include a lot of adult themes and language that surrounds it, so just a heads up for anybody listening. So, this week's case began in the spring of 2004 in Columbia, Missouri, at the University of Missouri. Jesse Valencia was 23 years old, and he was in his junior year at the University of Missouri. Jesse was majoring in pre-law and journalism in the hopes of becoming a lawyer one day. Jesse was openly gay, which for 2004 was still not the most accepting time, and he wanted to be a social advocate and make a real change for those who felt like they didn't have a voice. He was always the type of person to speak his mind and say it like it was, according to a childhood friend named John Worley. Jesse was from a very small rural town called Perryville in Kentucky. He had two sisters and grew up on a farm where he loved to ride horses and just always have something to do. His stepfather, Lupe, described Jesse as full of life and that to know him was to love him. After high school, Jesse even worked as a model until he decided to head off to college. Jesse became a student at the University of Missouri in the fall of 2002, and he very quickly made a lot of friends with his fun and bright personality. All of that changed on the morning of June 5th, 2004, when some students leaving their off-campus housing found a body, lying on the ground completely naked with their throat slashed open.
Oh my gosh.
They immediately called the police, and investigators rushed to the scene. The scene was gruesome, with blood all over the grass. The police were shocked as to who this young man was and why someone would do this to him. They had taken a picture of just the victim's face and went door to door around some of the homes nearby, asking if they could identify who it was. Pretty quickly, they were able to discover that the victim was Jesse Valencia. Thank you to Neuro for sponsoring today's episode. Are you someone who is constantly on the go, trying to balance work, social life, and personal well-being? It can be challenging to maintain focus and concentration, but there is a solution. Meet Neuro, the gum and mint brand that can energize, calm, and focus you whenever you need it. I've been struggling a lot lately with staying focused and on track, and to be honest, as soon as I sit down to get some work done, I quickly find myself aimlessly scrolling on my phone as a distraction. It can be hard to find motivation, and I am someone who appreciates a good caffeine boost, but coffee and energy drinks have not always been my favorite go-to. A lot of the time, coffee really hurts my stomach and causes me to get super shaky. It's also not the most healthy option for me either, since the only way I can drink it is with lots of creamer. Neuro perfectly solves all of those problems by offering an easy and healthy solution so I can get my caffeine fix and stay focused while I work on True Time podcast content all day long.
Neuro was developed by former athletes who wanted to create clean, balanced energy that could be taken anywhere, anytime. With three different formulas to choose from, Neuro has a product to suit your needs. Their energy and focus formula contains natural caffeine, L-theanine, and B vitamins to sustain mental endurance necessary for maintaining focus. Two pieces contains 80 milligrams of natural green tea caffeine, which is about as much as a cup of coffee. Their Calm and Clarity formula is expertly developed with GABA, vitamin D3, and L-theanine to optimize composure and clarity of mind. And their Health and Vitality formula is specially infused with life-enhancing, immune-boosting vitamins to help strengthen and support your body. Each gum and mint formula comes in different flavors as well, so you can pick what you like depending on your preferences. They are all vegan, aspartame-free, sugar-free, and gluten-free as well.
Neuro Gum and Mints are the perfect solution for anyone looking for the perfect source of energy and focus. With Neuro, you can get the right state of mind safely and consistently, no matter what challenges come your way. Check out our link, tryneurogum.com/truetime, in our description to order Neuro Gum and Mints today and see the difference it can make in your life. Jesse's body was transferred to the coroner's office for an autopsy to try to figure out what happened to him, and what they discovered was that he did not go down easily. His body was covered in major bruises along his collarbone and in the middle of his back. A strange discovery was some arm hairs found on his shaved chest that did not belong to him. So that, along with any DNA found underneath his fingernails, was sent off for further testing. The slash on Jesse's throat was truly horrific. The killer had used a serrated blade with so much force that his jugular vein had been cut, and it went even deeper to the point that his vertebrae had been nicked by the knife.
Oh my gosh.
According to the show How I Caught My Killer. Yeah, that's a very, very personal
just murder. Violent. Yeah.
Like, it's that type of death. For how gruesome it is categorized as being very personal, meaning you knew the victim mm-hmm. or had something against them.
Sounds like it was more than one person to me, at least so far. Like, it sounds like he was attacked by a few people, or maybe just two.
Or someone just really strong who knew what they were doing.
Yeah, I guess.
Continuing the investigation, the police learned that Jesse was found only 7 blocks down from the apartment that he lived in. His apartment was a part of an older home that had been renovated to house a few apartments, so when they went to search his place, they found signs of some type of struggle. A next-door neighbor named Christian Kepner was able to tell the police that they had most definitely heard something going on in the very early hours that morning. He explained that he had come home from a night out drinking, and at around 3 a.m., he heard arguing coming from Jesse's apartment and someone saying, "Stop, stop, stop." Being drunk and tired, he eventually ended up pounding on the wall to get the yelling to stop, and it did. The police made the connection that whatever fight started in Jesse's apartment caused him to run away from whoever ended up killing him. Within the apartment, the police had made an important discovery for the case. They had found a used condom, which was immediately sent off for DNA testing because this meant that whoever Jesse might have hooked up with that night was the murderer.
So maybe it was someone who didn't want to get exposed as being gay?
It definitely could be. The police also realized that this meant Jesse most likely knew his killer.
Mm-hmm.
During the investigation, a sergeant gave Officer Steven Rios the responsibility of guarding Jesse's apartment to protect any evidence at the scene from becoming compromised. At around 10 p.m. on the night of June 5th, still the same day Jesse had been found, the police received a call from a friend of Jesse's named Crystal Loyland. She told the police that the night before, she had a party at her house with friends and that Jesse had been there. Jesse was acting as his usual self, fun in the life of the party, but he had shown up with two guys Crystal had never met before. Their names were Eric Thurston and Ed McDevitt, and they were roommates. She explained that by 3 a.m. that morning, Jesse had left. Now the police have an idea of who may have been the last people to see Jesse alive, so they brought them in for questioning. They were placed in separate rooms during their interview, and the police were shocked by what Eric had told them. When they informed Eric that Jesse had been found dead the morning of June 5th, he stated he could murder someone, but that he didn't kill Jesse.
What the heck? Yeah. What kind of answer is that?
Oh, just a really bizarre one.
What the heck?
Yeah, such an off-putting statement definitely made him a suspect, especially when he went on to explain that he used to have a relationship with Ed, but they had recently broken up and that he was now with Jesse instead.
So the roommates were together?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Police began to wonder if Eric had acted out of jealousy, but he told them that after leaving the party, he stayed the night with someone named Kevin. So the police knew they would have to find this person to see if his alibi checked out. When they were able to locate Kevin, he was able to confirm that Eric had been with him all night, so he was removed from being a suspect.
Because you can just trust Kevin.
Well, I'm sure there's other ways yeah. they confirmed it, but yeah. that was just the gist of it. During Ed's interview, he was very visibly upset and distraught about Jesse's death. He told the police he had met Jesse just 2 days before at a club, and they quickly hit it off and began hooking up. This meant that the condom they had found in Jesse's apartment belonged to them. When they left Crystal's party, Jesse wanted Ed to come back to his place, but Ed couldn't because he had work really early that morning. He was a chef. So then Jesse just walked back to his apartment alone. Police wondered that since Ed worked as a chef, this meant he obviously had access to various types of knives, and they worried if he could have used one of them to murder Jesse.
Maybe he caught Jesse cheating on him?
Well, at the end of Eric and Ed's interviews, they had DNA samples taken, but the results were going to take weeks to come back. So they didn't really have much else to go off of.
Yeah.
After this interview, however, the police received a very shocking anonymous call that was going to blow this whole case wide open. The caller told the police that they knew Jesse was in a relationship with a young, married Columbia police officer who had a young child.
Oh, no.
When the investigators turned their search inwards, they knew they did not have any openly gay police officers. So this meant that whoever it was that had the relationship with Jesse was secret.
Mm-hmm.
As the investigation continued, the police carried on with interviews of Jesse's friends and former casual relationships in the hopes that one of them might know something about a potential relationship with a police officer. When the police interviewed a former casual hookup of Jesse's named Andy on June 6th, they had finally learned about the information they were hoping to find. Andy explained how while he was at Jesse's house one night in the middle of May, so only a few weeks prior to his murder, the two were hooking up when there was a knock at the door. When Jesse got up to answer it, Andy could see it was a police officer in his uniform. Andy obviously got nervous, wondering what was wrong if there was a police officer at the door in the middle of the night, but Jesse told Andy that he knew him, and that's when the police officer joined Jesse and Andy in the bed. Before the officer left, he told the two of them that this had to stay a secret. So immediately, the police asked if Andy could potentially identify the officer again by looking through their department yearbook, but he quickly informed him that he had just seen the officer out in the hallway.
Oh, damn.
They discovered that the officer was Steven Rios, a married 27-year-old with a newborn baby.
Oh, no.
He had been working at the Columbia Police Department for about 2 or 3 years at that point, but his coworkers viewed him as a good worker with no issues at all. The first thing the investigators knew they would have to discover was when exactly did Steven and Jesse meet. So they learned that on April 18th, only 7 weeks before Jesse was murdered, Jesse had gone to a party his friends were having, but it had gotten a little loud and a little rowdy, so the police had been called twice due to noise complaints. Steven Rios was one of the officers who went to check out the party, and while he was talking to the girls who had thrown it, Jesse drunkenly stepped in trying to protect his friends from getting arrested. This led to Officer Rios arresting Jesse and giving him a ticket for obstruction of a government operation.
So they hadn't even met that long ago?
No, it was very recent.
Hmm.
Basically almost 2 months prior. Yeah. On the day that Jesse was found dead, Officer Rios told investigators that he did recognize the victim because he had arrested him a few weeks prior. Investigators realized now that he had obviously not told them the full extent of their relationship and that they might have made a grave error in selecting him as the officer to guard Jesse's apartment during the investigation.
Hmm.
3 days after Jesse's murder, Steven Rios went to the police sergeant and tried to tell him that if he had come up in any correlation to that anonymous tip they had gotten, he swore it wasn't him. That's...
So he's just trying to cover his butt.
Yeah. But that's when they informed him that they had already interviewed Andy, and he was able to identify him as being the officer Jesse had been hooking up with.
I bet his stomach just exploded.
Yeah. Steven Rios finally admitted to hooking up with Jesse 6 times after he had arrested him.
6 times within that small time frame?
I mean, like, it's about 2 months. When you're married. Yeah. Well, he works really off hours and stuff like that, too, as an officer, police officer. But he told the police he had nothing to do with Jesse's death. Supposedly, once Steven arrested Jesse, he questioned him a lot, even with questions that were more personal. He even showed up unannounced at Jesse's apartment with more questions about the arrest, according to Oxygen.com. But there was most likely an ulterior motive because their hookups started shortly after. He told the police he didn't come clean with their sexual relationship up front because he was afraid of his wife finding out. Steven Rios was then asked to go on leave until investigators could rule him out as being a suspect. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. New beginnings can come with a lot of unknowns and uncertainties, and dealing with these stressors can cause us to struggle with sleeping, making life decisions, and finding what truly makes us happy. A few months ago, I personally had to make some really difficult decisions to prioritize my mental health, but by doing that, I was able to overcome the challenges I faced and ultimately learned how important it is to check in with myself and how I'm feeling. Fresh starts can be hard or even scary, but an amazing solution to work through anything you may be facing is to start talking to a therapist. Now is the perfect time to put your mental health first and check out BetterHelp.
BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service with over 25,000 licensed and experienced therapists, and is 100% online, which is amazing because this truly makes it accessible to everyone. To get started, you simply just answer a couple of questions about what your specific needs are and what you are looking for in a therapist. This information allows BetterHelp to match you to a therapist who is experienced in helping to meet your needs and trained to listen. Then you can get in contact with your therapist in a way that is convenient and comfortable for you. You can text or chat at any time, as well as schedule phone or video calls. If at any time you decide you'd like a new therapist, BetterHelp can help you to make a switch at no additional charge.
BetterHelp is an amazing resource that offers professionalism and quality you would expect from in-office therapy, all from the comfort of your own space. It can be difficult to search and find the help you are looking for in your area, but BetterHelp ultimately allows you to connect with a therapist who is custom-picked for you, with more scheduling flexibility at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/truetime. That's betterhelp.com/truetime. Check out our link in the description to take charge of your mental health today. Thank you again to BetterHelp for sponsoring today's episode. However, somehow his name and his secret affair with Jesse became public knowledge and the media went crazy with it. Steven became publicly humiliated, and his family, co-workers, and especially his wife were shocked. Steven began to act dangerously and purchased a shotgun at a Walmart and told his co-workers that he was going to kill himself. They reported him, and so Steven was placed to a health facility that he could receive mental health treatment.
Well, what do you expect is going to happen?
When someone's whole life blows up?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously his fault. But to just, especially back then.
Yeah.
It's also, I mean, obviously his fault. He had a family, everything. But even if you don't and that stuff gets out in that time, like your life is sort of destroyed.
Yeah. Especially in a town like a college town in Missouri.
Yeah.
So it's just a rough place. And this was like almost 19 years ago. So still. Not just not a very accepting time. So, however, once he was placed in the facility, he escaped, and the police were immediately contacted. When he was discovered, he was standing on top of a four-story parking garage ledge, making threats that he was going to jump. This also caught a lot of media attention, with tons of news crews and their vans gathering at the bottom, just watching and waiting to see if Stephen was going to jump. It took 2 hours, but eventually another officer and friend of Stephen's was able to talk him down. At this point, everyone was wondering, was a reaction like that guilt from killing Jesse, or the guilt of cheating on his wife and essentially ruining his relationship with his family? But the police didn't have probable cause to arrest Stephen for the murder of Jesse. His alibi was that the night Jesse was murdered, he had gotten off of work at 3 a.m. and went to a rooftop to have some drinks with fellow officers and then drove home. His wife was able to confirm that Stephen came home late that night, sometime between 5:15 and 5:30 in the morning, because she was up with their baby. Another officer at the rooftop was also able to confirm that he left at around 4:45 a.m. Investigators had officers drive the distance from the rooftop of the parking garage to Jesse's apartment, and then back to Stephen's home to see if it would be possible for Stephen to go and see Jesse before heading home. They found that the whole drive only took 7 minutes. This meant that Stephen Rios could have had almost 30 minutes to spend with Jesse before heading home. But they still didn't know if that was enough time for him to chase down and murder Jesse. As the investigation continued, the police interviewed one of Jesse's best friends named Joan Sheridan, who gave them some interesting information. She explained that when Jesse went to court on May 25th for that ticket Stephen Rios had given him, he was told that the case was not dismissed, which he was expecting that it would be, since he had this relationship with Stephen since the arrest. He assumed Stephen would pull some strings and get that ticket dropped. This made Jesse angry, and so he must have confronted Stephen after the court appearance and threatened him by saying he had a little secret the chief of police might like to know, implying that he would make their relationship public, according to Oxygen.com.
So his friend knew for sure that he said that?
Yeah, he had told her that the next time he was going to see Stephen, he was going to say, slash, imply, he had this secret that he could share if the ticket didn't get dropped, type of thing. So the police believed this to be Stephen's motive, and after being confronted by Jesse, he must have snapped and ultimately murdered him. The murder weapon was also never found, but it was reported that some of the officers who worked with Stephen recalled him carrying around a knife that would have matched the description. At this point, though, all the police need is physical evidence to make an arrest. Finally, a month after the murder, the DNA results taken during Jesse's autopsy came back. The results showed that the DNA found underneath Jesse's fingernails belonged to Stephen Rios, along with the arm hairs found on Jesse's chest. It was also discovered that the way Jesse's bruises were located on his body, that was the position of a type of chokehold that the Columbia Police Department taught their officers.
Like in the knee in the back sort of thing?
Yeah, it must have been like some arm across the chest. I don't know exactly what the formation was, but the bruising correlated with that technique. So that was just another type of piece of evidence that they had. But with the DNA, that was it. Stephen Rios was arrested and charged with the murder of Jesse Valencia. This was really tough for the Columbia Police Department, but they made it clear that just because he was a former police officer did not mean that they would defend any of his actions, and they wanted to see him go to prison for violating the trust of the community, according to Randy Baim, who was the chief of police at the time.
I'm surprised that he did not commit suicide when he was the murderer.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's just so much conflict there. I'm not sure why he didn't.
Like, he'd rather still stay alive and go to prison, not sure for how long, but hopefully for the rest of his life, than commit suicide.
After, I mean,
you know, everything that's happened.
Yeah.
Destroying his entire family. And then also it coming out that he was the one who committed the murder.
Yeah, I mean, psychologically, I have no idea what led him to make the decisions that he made after basically two attempts of trying to kill himself.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he thought he could get out of it because he wasn't officially arrested yet, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? But after Stephen's arrest, three women also then came forward accusing him of making unwanted sexual advances towards them after they had been arrested.
Gosh, this dude has some problems.
Yeah. It was heartbreaking for the police department and the community to learn that such a coward was using his influence as an officer to control people into doing what he wanted. The trial began on May 17th in 2005. All of the evidence was presented, and Jesse's best friend Joan went on the stand to tell the jury that he had said he was going to confront Officer Rios about the ticket not being dropped and that he had that secret for the chief of police. Stephen Rios testified that although he was a liar and had committed adultery, he did not kill Jesse Valencia.
With the DNA and fingernails.
Yeah, I know.
This guy.
After the jury deliberated for 14 hours, they found Stephen guilty of first-degree murder, which would be a sentence of life without parole.
There we go.
However, 2 years later, a retrial was called due to a judge ruling that hearsay had been used as evidence. Basically, repeating what someone said, you don't have proof that they actually said that type of thing. Just using, well, they said that they were going to do this type of, it's just rumor. You don't have evidence. Yeah. And the hearsay was that the secret Jesse had told Joan about confronting Stephen Rios and that she had shared that during the trial as evidence. During the second trial, the jury found Stephen Rios guilty of second-degree murder and armed criminal action.
Come on.
Yeah, I think the charge had to be dropped lower in an attempt to get him proven guilty twice, because getting a first-degree murder conviction twice is really hard to do.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
But second degree means it just wasn't premeditated. I don't know what, you know, Steven's plans were the night he went to Jesse's.
So what's his sentence look like after that?
So he was given life in prison for the second degree murder charge and an additional 23 years for the armed criminal action charge.
Oh, okay. So his sentence still... it's pretty much the same.
Yeah. So
okay, I thought that would mean
lesser.
Yes. Okay.
Well, in this case, the difference between first and second here is that the first degree punishment or conviction meant he absolutely would have never gotten out. But apparently the second degree murder conviction means he could possibly get out at an old age, according to prosecutor Morley Swingle. But he wouldn't get out until he was an old man is how that prosecutor described it.
Yeah, well, still...
I really don't see that happening. I mean, you know how our justice system works, and the odds of people getting out of the prison system once they're in is pretty low. So it's still a life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse was laid to rest on his family farm in Perryville, Kentucky. Jesse is and always will be remembered by his family and friends as a loud and proud free spirit who would always stand up to social injustice and would have never stopped fighting for what was right. This case is an important reminder to everyone that you cannot fight who you are and that you should embrace it, because those who truly love and support you will always be by your side.
Yeah, yeah, and suppressing, I mean, a part of you or a side of you can obviously lead to like a lot of mental distress. Yeah, so
major blow-ups.
I mean, not everyone will, you know, go to this extent.
No.
But you know, it really can mess with your mentality.
Yeah, it's like a form of torture in a way. Suppressing everything you feel and believe in. It's not healthy.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking because this is just this long line of damage that was left. An innocent life taken and a wife and a baby, you know, left basically fatherless and husbandless now that he's in prison, and they just feeling like you didn't know who your spouse was this whole time. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But that's all I have for this case.
Alrighty. Should we move into the question of the day?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Lighten the mood with us.
So the question of the day is, what do you enjoy spending money on? So like not just immediate satisfaction, you know, you buy a shirt and you're like, ooh, you know, for the first week you wear it, it's like the coolest thing ever. I'm talking about what brings you joy to spend money on.
Well, the first thing that popped to mind is kind of random because you're trying to make this a little bit deeper than superficial materialistic items, although I guess all items are materialistic in a way. But I guess it's nice when we go on trips. I like being able to purchase like nicer souvenirs, like decorations for our home and things we'll have forever basically and that we can pass down. I think it's really cool to have a home where I can point at different things and be like, oh, I got that in Greece.
And yeah, like the painting we got in Mykonos.
Yeah, I love that thing.
Like the evil eye in Santorini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it's really cool to be able to purchase nicer souvenirs that will last for a really long time.
Yeah, that makes sense. It gives your house like a true character.
Yeah.
You know, like this isn't just from Barnes & Noble. It's
Or TikTok. Like Target. Like I saw this on TikTok and so I went to Target type of thing. Like it's really cool to decorate your home and I enjoy doing that. But I appreciate that some of our pieces are really special.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What is your favorite thing to spend money on? And why do I feel like this is going to go to tech or something?
It was going to. Oh. but then I sort of changed the question as I was asking it. You know, I love spending money. It's just so fun. It's so fun. Yeah. And I love buying a lot of things, like whether it be tech, because I don't know. I love setting it up. I love the use cases of things. So like purposeful purchases, I said that weird, but, so tech really goes a long way in my eyes, you know, has multiple use cases. And then cars, I can't really spend money on that, but you know, as a future buyer of expensive cars.
Oh my gosh.
I can't wait for that.
Every day he's like, I'm between these three cars. I'm not sure which one I'm going to get. Oh, I'm going to get this one next day. Actually, I did a little more research. I'm getting this other one. And I'm like, you know, things will change in the next couple of years before we're able to buy these cars. He's like, no, I need to know which one I'm going to get right now. And then he changes his mind every day. So
it's a problem, but
thank goodness he isn't actually buying these cars. Cause you like, could you imagine like we buy whatever his dream car is on a Monday and by Tuesday, he's like, actually, I'm going to buy this one instead. Dylan would be dangerous with a lot of money. So.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
I keep reminding him, like, you know, we might have kids who need to eat food.
So that, but then, like, truly, like, to answer the question would be the trips themselves, you know, just spending money on.
Yeah, that is true. I was thinking more materialistic when I heard that question, but yeah, obviously vacations.
Yeah, that's a big one for us, I'd say. It's just being able to go somewhere and just chill. So cruises are probably our biggest thing that we feel most comfortable, you know, and relaxed on.
Because yeah,
it's sort of, I don't know, your day-to-day is broken up, sort of chosen for you, and you just go with the flow. You have a good time.
Yeah, the best time.
That's it. You guys can let us know your answers.
Yes, please let us know what you like to spend money on, even if it is something simple. If it brings you joy, why not?
Yeah, it could be socks or it could be buying private jets, you know.
Yeah, whatever your, well, I forgot the word. Can't think of the word I'm trying to say. Prerogative, thank you. Whatever your prerogative is.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you want to, you know, send us personal messages answering questions or if you want to comment on our post and see case sources and photos from all the cases, you can follow us at True Time Podcast on Instagram and TikTok and also Facebook.
Yes.
And if you want to follow our personal life, Avery posts on Instagram and TikTok at Avery E. Hamill.
That is right. Go check out all our pages. Show us some love. Anything you heard about in today's podcast, you can check the description for links and other various things like that.
Alrighty.
Thank you for all of the love and support you give us. We really appreciate you guys.
Hope you have a great week.
And we will see you next Monday.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.